Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. It is that time of the day where we do the roundtable. It is brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Is it your mic working? Is it the right one? Is Mac, is he good?
Test.
Okay,
yeah,
there
good.
We go. So it's over here.
How do we never have
I'm
these
sorry.
Working?
Yeah. This one. This is my bad. I put the wrong button. Anyway,
losing still, Drew. I'm sorry. That's unnecessary.
God. Jeez, Dusty, the man is wounded. It hasn't even been 12 hours yet.
Sorry. I appreciate you for sending the group text a Houday text though last night.
That's the difference between Houday and Houdat.
One claims that they stole it from the other, I think.
Stole it from who? Difference.
New Orleans stole it from Cincy. Cincy stole it from New Orleans.
Yeah, I think each fan base claims that they had it first. I'm not sure, actually.
Who did the tomahawk chop first? The Braves, the Chiefs, or Florida State?
Florida State.
Okay.
Yeah, Florida State's the answer to that question.
I bet you can find you a Chiefs fan out there like, bull crap, Fesco.
Really, you think?
It was our group, man.
No,
it
wasn't Florida
State. Chopping in the 70s.
No, they weren't. There was nobody there in the 70s.
That is the truth. So anyways, no secret, right? You're the Cincinnati guy. I love that you lean into it. I really thought they had a chance last night. Burrow looked great. Jamar Chase looked great. Mac had Jamar Chase as the Richer of the Week. Mac, why don't you play him the audio and see what Drew's perspective is as a Cincinnati homer?
Do you feel like the ball should have gone to you on that final play, Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, I always feel like that. As a receiver, you should want the ball, yes, but, you know, sometimes y'all don't see it, you know?
Is that a shot?
No, I don't think it's a shot because I think it's true. On both fourth and twos, everybody thought it was the play calling from Zach Taylor. Like, why are you calling a deep pass? That was Joe Burrow was the one that made the decision to throw the ball deep both times. One of them, actually, mm-hmm. both of them were to a Jermaine Burton, I believe, and both of them missed.
Badly.
Yeah, just overthrown. He didn't place it good enough. But it's still on a fourth and two, that's the throw that you decide to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the confidence to make the throw. It was a little bit off. The one that was most frustrating is that second one that he alludes to where he had, I think it was Tanner Hudson or Gesicki underneath, but he had Jamar Chase underneath and open. Nobody was near him. If he just would have waited a second longer, he'd have had him and they'd have had the first down. Both of those plays, along with that Chase Brown fumble, I think are the ones that you circle. That's the sequence. Those are the turning point ones because they were up 21-7 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Had those fourth and twos. I mean, and if you're at the point where they were able to move the ball easily, get the ball to the 50, and then they might stall out a little bit. If you convert one of those fourth and twos, you go down and you punch the ball in the end zone again. It's a 21-point game. I mean, that's like sticking the dagger in their chest. And I don't know if that's what Joe was going for when he tried to throw the deep ball. He's like, I'm going to hit this, and we're going to end this thing. And it's the gut punch. But
that's where the maturity, though, of Patrick Mahomes has changed over the years. Because Mahomes would have probably done that his first 4 years or 5 years maybe in the league.
Just said, F it, I'm going to rip it.
Yeah, and now he's become mature, he's become older, he's become wiser and understands, so I'll just take the high percentage play here, get the first down and keep the sticks moving. And, you know, you mentioned the fourth downs. There's a difference between being aggressive and being that Staley jackass from L.A. who would go for, you know, fourth downs all the time, right? Was it Brandon Staley or whatever? That guy
last week against Mitzvah five times.
Yeah, stupid at times, right? Like, sometimes you have to play that field position game, and it's fourth and two, and you're at your own, you know, 48-yard line or their 48-yard line. Why wouldn't you just pooch punt it and make Lamar go the distance instead of giving him the opportunity when he's dominating to take over at midfield? There's a difference between being aggressive and being stupid.
Yeah, there was the one. So both of those were on, both the ones that happened that they failed, I guess, to get out of the multiple ones that they tried were on were in plus territory, but like you said, Bob, they were in that like 45-yard where it would have been like a 60-yard field goal. Do you trust Evan McPherson to make it? Do you even want to risk it?
Normally trustworthy, right?
But if you're up 21-7, why not punt, get Lamar down inside the 10-yard line, and then he has to go 90-some yards and take a lot of time off the clock
Throw the throw punt. And then if you throw it deep and it's intercepted and they intercepted the five.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was – I think – I like the decision to go for it. Maybe it's because they – and I don't know this – if they don't trust the defense that much where it's like, we need to go and we need to score every single possession we have to try. Mm-hmm. I like the aggressiveness from Zach Taylor because at times he's been very conservative. And it's bit them before.
Yeah.
Of course, you can be over-conservative, and it can also bite you. You know, the Brandon Staley conversation as well. I like the decisions that Zach Taylor made. It's just I wonder if there was a better – if you look at some of the missed opportunity, it's just the decision for Joe Burrow to throw the ball deep. There was stuff there for you to convert it. You just couldn't get it. And maybe it's because they play Baltimore's defense, and they know they stink, and they just said, you know, we're going to be the aggressor. And they were from the jump. I mean, they had control in the game, but – as it has been for all the other games of the season, there's one or two plays that they're just on the wrong side of, whether it's their own decision-making, whether it's some bad luck, because they're, I think, Bob, you said they're 1-7 in close games.
Something like that, With one-score games, they're 1-7 this year.
I know where they're 0-1.
They have scored 33 points in five games this year. They're 2-3 in those games. The rest of the league is 38-1 in those games.
Let me ask you two questions. Does Lamar Jackson give you the we can't let him have the ball, and that's why they went for two sort of fear?
Yes, 100%. Okay. And I don't know if it's partially Lamar Jackson,
or but the defense.
I think it's more about the defense because even with Patrick Mahomes, just based on how the game was going, if they would have scored a touchdown and been up, or if they would have had to go for two against Jaden Daniels, they weren't in that situation. But based on how Jaden Daniels was playing, I would have wanted them to go for two in the same situation. I think that's the defense has been so bad for them. Where when they started out well, but when they can't make a stop, they cannot stop a nosebleed. And I knew that if they kicked that field goal and they went to overtime and they lost the toss, it was the exact same situation as the Bucs with the Chiefs. It was the Todd Bowles thing all over again because the Ravens were going to score a touchdown if they got the ball. And I'm glad that you trust your best player in that moment to go and win you the game. It didn't happen. And sure, he got smacked in the face. And all that stuff. But the game should have never come to that anyways. But I like putting the ball in your best player's hands to win the game.
I'm not a go for two guys, as these guys know. That's the right situation to go for two. Absolutely go for two in that situation.
Because if you have the same, like you said, Todd Bowles, if you don't go for it, you tie it, Lamar gets the ball and they win, then it's like, why didn't you go for two? At least you give your team a chance to win, especially on the road.
Yeah,
division.
Given how the defense is, and also the fact, too, that they're 4-5 going into the game, this is a signature win that you could say, again, I still think that the playoffs are still a possibility based on how things
go. You got to be perfect, though.
Yeah, you have to be perfect from here on out. They can't afford to lose more than one, maybe two games the rest of the way, which obviously they haven't been able to do that. But this is one of those games where you could have taken control, and then if the defense look, if Lamar Jackson gets the ball, say they get it, and they're up by one, and Lamar Jackson goes down and kicks the field goal, you throw your hands up and say, well, not that this is surprising, but you know what? The defense let us down again, but you put yourself in that position where you could win the game instead of just relying on a coin toss to help your luck.
And even with 33 seconds left, I wouldn't have given it back to Lamar Jackson there in a tie ball game. He's going to move down the field and probably set you up with Justin Tucker to kick a field goal.
How many quarterbacks merit that? Mahomes, Allen, Burrow?
Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar.
I think Lamar you would put in that situation.
Anybody else you'd kick it to? You'd be like, okay, if C.J. Stroud goes down and beats me, C.J. Stroud goes down and beat me, but damn it, I'm not letting Lamar Jackson do it. Because I think
it depends on the situation, I think, a little bit, where the Bengals defense has been so bad, it depends on how the game is going. But if you were to say four quarterbacks that I'm going for two against and I don't want to, I need to get up because of how good they are, I would say it's definitely those four.
And it's the right decision, too, because the Baltimore defense sucks, too. And you can't get 2 yards against the worst defense in the NFL. You absolutely go for two. Like, I think if anybody's sitting here going, they made the going for two is such a revisionist history. You go for two when you needed to win a game. That is it, in my opinion. Yep. And you needed it to win the game. You went for it there. But the people who come out and say that was the wrong move, that's revisionist history. Because if you make the two-point conversion, you're getting praised by those same people in that 100%. Situation.
It's one of those things where you're a genius if it goes one way, and then you're an idiot if it goes the other.
That's correct.
And Zach Taylor has kind of been the scapegoat, because I think I think Zach Taylor is a better coach than what people give him credit for. It's just that there have been times where when they lose close games, a lot of the time it's been late game management, decision making, which we've seen across the league everywhere. It's not like Zach Taylor is the only guy that doesn't know how to manage a game. We see it all the time.
Mm.
But it's another one of those moments where I think as a head coach, you make that decision, you go with your gut. We're going to give the ball to our best player. And if we lose, fine. It was a great game last night.
It was an unbelievable game, a fantastic
football game. And I think that every single time, like Lamar Jackson said it afterwards in post game, every single time we play them, it is a good football game. Lamar's been on the great side of it when you look at the record. But every single time they play the Ravens, that's why I think in my mind, the Ravens are the most frustrating team that I have to watch play the Cincinnati Bengals, because every single game is very close, I know it. And every single game, Lamar Jackson makes the one play where he's running backwards 15 yards, runs around in a circle, and then he makes a play, and you're like, dude, this is ridiculous. How can we? They didn't get a sack last night. They had hands on him the whole night, couldn't bring him down for a sack. It's very frustrating when having to go up against Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or those guys who can extend those plays. It's very frustrating.
And it's frustrating because you're this close, but that's the NFL for so many teams that aren't the Chiefs. You're this close and you're just a player here or a player there away. And, you know, I understand how people are frustrated by it. So do you think this eliminates Cincinnati now from playoff contention? Are you ready to say, let's concede and let's move forward?
I guess so. In terms of them actually going and winning the Super Bowl, I think I'm almost the same stance as I was. If Joe Burrow was healthy last year, I don't think they would have won the Super Bowl because the defense sucked last year too. They were not very good. They couldn't tackle anybody.
What happened to Lou Anarumo? They're like, everybody loves that guy. Hey, Lou.
I think part of it. I wonder if part of it's personnel, where they don't have a good enough secondary right now or a good enough defensive line. Lou's still, I think, a good coach, but I think part of it is all he for whatever reason. He can scheme. He is the best defensive coordinator when facing Patrick Mahomes, and he can make him look ordinary at times. But when anybody else is playing, they look great. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's just really good at scheming for what Mahomes does.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he does really well. I think it's partially the personnel. But if we were to say right now, are the Bengals out of the playoffs? I would say no. Are they a Super Bowl team? I don't think so, because the defense is playing bad. And
you can't win a Super Bowl with that defense.
Yeah, you have to have a complete team. They come up short in multiple phases, and that's what, you know, a definition of a bad team or a team that's not good enough to win a Super Bowl. If the Chiefs beat the Broncos this weekend, the Bengals are still just like one game out of that 7-seed spot. So, again, like what you said, Dusty, they basically got to be perfect the rest of the way. Like they can't afford, they have to go 5-2 or better in the last stretch, which includes multiple division games, which are always tough in the AFC North. You play the Chargers, you play the Broncos. So they're going head-to-head with some teams that are right in
and
that.
And they have two with Pittsburgh still,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're going head-to-head with teams in that wild card spot. They don't play the Colts, but the Broncos and the Chargers as well. It technically would help the Bengals if the Chiefs beat Denver this weekend a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Serious question. If you do miss the playoffs, is it over for Zach Taylor?
I think it should be, but I don't. I think I would say I'm 35% confident they would actually fire Zach Taylor because they went to the Super Bowl with him. And I think the Bengals they held on to Marvin Lewis for all those years and he didn't win a single playoff game. They went to the Super Bowl with Zach Taylor. And maybe they fire Lou Anarumo. Maybe that's the decision you make. But what
has warranted, in your opinion, Zach Taylor to be fired?
I think some of it is the late game stuff. I don't know if I were to say Zach Taylor's fired, there's better options out there. I think Ben Johnson would be a better coach, but in terms of this is the reason he needs to be fired, I don't know if I can pinpoint the exact reason why Zach Taylor should be fired. Maybe it's a lack of aggressiveness at times on offense. I think the slow starts, I guess, is the first thing you look at.
But I'm going to jump in real quick. I think if you were to go to me...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And plead the case of the late game collapses and 1-7 in games where they score 30 or more points.
Is that your reason?
that's a fair reason, I think, to fire a coach.
Somebody
that,
has
that,
to be.
That to me is,
I think it's
coaching.
Also your guys' slow start every year.
Yes. Every guys, year. That's guys, coaching, too.
You bury yourself in a hole to where it's like, I always give the analogy, they're the kid that starts the semester off failing the first test, and then you have to get an A on every test afterwards just to maintain a B average in that class.
And even though I think Zach Taylor is a solid coach, I think that like, this is one of those things where even if you think he's okay, you just need a change for whether it's the locker room's sake, because there's been multiple times where either Jamar Chase has said it or Joe Burrow said it, like, look, that was the play call, or they need to give me the ball. Like that's come up multiple times now where I think they're not calling out Zach Taylor in a way, but they also are. I think you just need that culture change where somebody needs to get in there and get everybody focused. And I don't know if Zach Taylor is that, where everybody gather around, everybody shut the hell up, and this is what's going to happen. Like if he's not Dan Campbell.
No,
he doesn't have that Dan Campbell in him in a way.
Let me ask you this, because I think there's a lot of teams that the way to go is an offensive-minded coach, but I think that only refers to when you have like a rookie quarterback. Now, I know Dan Quinn is an anomaly in this sort of argument because he's defensive-minded, but he's got Cliff Kingsbury, who he's basically said, this is your project. Go take care of it. I know you can do it. A couple names that might help in Cincinnati's, if they do, and I'm just throwing these names out there, Robert Saleh or Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel's a good name.
Vrabel's a name.
Vrabel's a great name.
Vrabel's a name that can go in there and be a red ass in that locker room. Also, he doesn't need to have somebody take care of his quarterback. His quarterback is there. He's a top five quarterback, probably a top three quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to worry about Joe Burrow. You sign Jamar Chase and you give somebody the offensive mindset, be like, you guys go take care of it. You can do that. I'm going to reshape this defense and bring what he took to Tennessee, which still has one of the best defensive lines in football and gives a lot of people headaches. Vrabel in Cincinnati, if Zach Taylor goes, maybe not something Kansas City Chiefs fans would want to see.
No, I think Vrabel is the guy that if you were going to bring a defensive guy in, because you might joke about Belichick, I don't want Bill Belichick coaching the Bengals. Please.
I don't think he'd be on the Cincinnati. I already said he was on the Cincinnati.
I think Vrabel would be really good for mainly the defensive background, but the reason that you said is he could be that guy, the Dan Campbell. Everybody listen to me. This is what's going to happen because I'm telling you what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like he's a former player. Zach Taylor played the game as well, obviously, but Vrabel's that guy who's played in the league, won Super Bowls. This is what it takes. They've gone against Mike Vrabel, and he's done very well against Joe Burrow. I think that, you know, in terms of building a group that's really good, Vrabel comes in, I think he would. If Vrabel were the coach, keep Dan Pitcher as your offensive coordinator because Joe Burrow's comfortable with him. He knows him well. Mm. The offense has a flow. I'd almost be I don't think you can pay T. Higgins now because of the whole injury stuff, but I was almost tempted to just say, look, pay T. Higgins, do not draft a single player on offense because the offense is fine. You don't have to. The offensive line has actually been the best that it's ever been.
Even if you don't pay T. Higgins, I would not be drafting offensive players. Look at what the Chiefs did, 100%. Right? They just started to load up talent on defense. And, you know, you got to be well-rounded.
Yeah, they need a defensive lineman in the worst way. Their first four picks, three out of the four should be defensive players. And you just come in with a new identity. I think if they did fire Zach Taylor, I think that Mike Vrabel actually might be a name that's at the top of the list.
How could he not be? Like, every team should have him at the top of the list.
Yeah, it's crazy that
he's still fresh, because I know the NFL evolves so quickly year after year, but he's still fresh and can still kind of do that. I just think that like his mentality, his sort of coaching,
it would be needed. It would be good.
Is he right? Is he with Cleveland right now
as an advisor?
Yeah, right. Okay,
he's just sitting and waiting.
Yeah,
so he's staying in the game, just waiting
kinda like
for that
Saleh
next,
going back to Green Bay
as a contributor/advisor.
Yeah, like I don't know if he,
which is also kind of a jab at Aaron. Like I think why go anywhere except he went to Green Bay.
I think it's a little bit.
Come over here. Well, we'll accept you because we don't like those guys.
Yeah, right. Aaron Rodgers sucks.
Are you ready for the show today? Or are you going to make it?
No.
Is there anything in that Quick Trip Cup?
If you want, I can go to Missouri and come back real quick.
The way that I've described this is that there is one person I think that hates the Bengals more than anybody else, and it's Alex Gould.
He's right there. I thought it was you.
It's me too.
He hates their fan base.
Alex tweeted a picture or a GIF, whatever, of the Joker, of Heath Ledger's Joker last night. I realized after he posted it that he's the Joker in this situation. He needs Batman. Alex needs the Bengals. He loves the Bengals. He's addicted to the Bengals. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't want to admit it.
He's right. Hatred is an addiction. There's no question.
He is addicted to the Bengals. And there's one time where they've broken his heart once, and we're just waiting on that one time to happen again.
It's hard to get over that person who broke your heart. It really is. Like, we've all been there, right? Like, we've all been there. All four of us are not yet, right? Like, it takes time to get over that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as if we continue to beat the Bengals and beat the Bengals, I'm still going to go back to that AFC championship game and go, okay.
There's one man that is beating the Kansas City Chiefs when it matters most, other than Tom Brady, and it's Joe Burrow.
That's right. It's almost been 5 years, bud. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's why I said, even if they're 9-8, they have a shot as good as anybody else to run and make it, because they have Joe Burrow and that offense is high flying, and they have had a lot of success against Buffalo. They just have to be on the right side of that play, which they haven't been so far.
And Joe Burrow gives zero F's and doesn't fear anything.
Thank goodness.
He's just a stone cold killer, man.
I'm so, because everybody's like, I get everybody gives me a hard time, obviously, because I'm a Bengals fan, but I am so happy that there's a quarterback finally where you don't have to go into a draft. We're not going to have to go into a draft in the next 10 years and say, maybe we should draft a quarterback.
Nope.
Hopefully. I'm very excited. It's nice to have a quarterback who's very, very good, and you don't have to worry about that problem.
Now get the rest of the team.
He can take care
of
business.
Other than you taking punches from Alex Goldday, what's on the show?
We're going to talk about the Chiefs and Broncos a little bit. Obviously, we're going to have Joshua Briscoe on. The plan is to have Nick Ferguson on as well. We're going to have a good show. We're going to talk some Chiefs. I'm a really big Chiefs fan this weekend.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
Bend the knee, baby.
Don't come over to our side.
You can come over if you want. Do you want to be? You want them to be your second team?
Everybody said, like, Drew, I think you're going to become a Chiefs fan. Like, look, I have a lot more respect for the Chiefs, I think, since moving here.
You do after hours with that guy over there.
That's
now.
Correct.
He's a huge Chiefs fan.
I know.
We're turning him. Slowly but surely, don't worry.
Oh. No, you're not.
There's going to be some like witchcraft, black magic going on with you drinking the Chiefs Kool-Aid.
I have more respect for, I think any Bengals fan would have this way if they worked in radio and they were around covering the team. I have more respect for the Chiefs probably than any other Bengals fan that's out there, because just being here.
Yeah, I've seen them in the wild at Arrowhead. They're losers.
There's a lot of Bengals fans who are crazy.
There's a lot of Chiefs fans that are crazy.
Yes,
there's one that's in jail that wore a Wolf's mask.
Also, a couple that are whacked out.
You said something that's very true for Chiefs fans. You said Cincinnati gets to go in the draft in 10 years for 10 straight years. Say, boy, we don't draft a quarterback. So do we over here in Kansas City.
It's got to be a good feeling.
It's the greatest feeling in the world.
It's got to be a good feeling.
Because there's not a lot of them. Because
you're a college guy. Look at the draft class for this year. Terrible at quarterback. Next year, terrible at quarterback.
When's the next good quarterback? He's in high school now.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. He's in high school.
All right, Drew. Take care. I wish you the
best. Thanks, guys,
just tell Alex Gold to kiss your ass.
I should today, shouldn't I?
I would.
You just look at him and go, Alex, your father said, kiss my ass.
Alex, you wouldn't drive if it wasn't for Fesco.
It's true.
That is the roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.